Would you join me in prayer? Father, we come to you now with your word. We ask that you would help us to behold the risen Christ, our spotless sacrifice. We pray that you would be with your word, attend your word as it reaches our ears. May you apply it to our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Waiting. Waiting is something that's familiar to us all. Some of you in this room are actually waiting on kindergarten to start here soon. Some of you may be still waiting to get a driver's license, and maybe you remember the anticipation you had. Waiting to go to college, to get a first job, to get married, so on and so forth. Christians, we're waiting for the hope and the joy of heaven, longing for it. And in our passage today, we will see a people who are also waiting. Waiting 430 years, waiting so long, they're probably weary of waiting. Today we'll be seeing how God saves his waiting people through a lamb. God saving his people through a lamb. We're in Exodus 12, verse 1 through 42. This is on page 53 if you're using the Bibles provided. If you're new to the Bible, the big numbers are the chapter numbers, and the small numbers are the verses. You want to keep that open as we walk through the passage today so you can see as I'm referring to the text. If there's one thing I want you to leave today with, it's what I just mentioned a moment ago, that God saves his people through the Lamb. How do we get here? What has happened up to this chapter? Well, a new Pharaoh has been raised up, as we see in chapter 1. This Pharaoh is different than the previous Pharaoh. He does not know the Lord. But the Lord intends to make himself known to Pharaoh, to Israel, to all the nations of the earth through his mighty acts. God's chosen servant Moses has spoken on God's behalf to Pharaoh that if he does not let his people go, God will save. But he will save through a bloody judgment. Pharaoh's heart over and over again has been hardened like a stone again and again as God continues to reveal himself, continues to afflict the Egyptian people. And Pharaoh's heart just gets harder. The tension is rising with every plague. He has ignored the warnings from God. He's hiding in his home and avoiding these plagues. The last image that we saw before we land in our text today is Moses leaving Pharaoh's throne room. And Moses is leaving hot with anger. 9 plagues, and you still won't let our people go and worship the Lord. The question now is, will God come through? When Moses was in Pharaoh's throne room, he was telling Pharaoh of the last plague, threatening him, telling him that God will bring great affliction upon the Egyptian people. So will God come through? Will judgment fall? Will Israel be safe as God pours out his great judgment on Pharaoh and Egypt? We won't read the entire chapter as we work through our passage today, but let's go ahead and begin and pick up in verse 1 in chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. What we see here is instructions from God to Moses and Aaron that are going to go to the people of Israel, first and foremost for the coming judgment, but also to establish a memorial so that God's people do not forget what God is about to do. It's to establish the Passover festival. God is showing that this plague is going to be different already. Time will be reoriented around what God is about to do in this great judgment. A sacrifice must die. Blood must be applied. And we, on this side of the Bible, recognize Leviticus tells us life is in the blood. Therefore, a life for a life. This lamb's life would be their rescue. A sacrifice that it said has to be without blemish. Without blemish, without spot. What does that mean? It means innocent. Or as we sang a moment ago, spotless, pure. The innocent dies for the guilty. The meals to be eaten in urgency. And a uniform is established, ready to leave, ready to head out. All the previous plagues that happened in Egypt happened in Egypt. If you remember back in Genesis, when God's people got to Egypt, they settled in Goshen. Not in proper Egypt. So in the previous plagues, Israel was spared. They kind of knew what was happening, but they weren't right there in the midst of God's judgment through the previous 9 plagues. So here, Israel has something to do. What is God exactly up to with killing these lambs, with Israel killing these lambs? Why would Israel need a sacrifice? Let's read on. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So again, back to my previous question. What is God up to with Israel killing these lambs? Why does Israel need a sacrifice? Israel is like you and I. They're a bunch of sinners. They need one, they need the blood of another to be in their place for God's judgment to be passed over. They need something for God to see, the blood for God to see to pass over their households. This plague is different in that God himself will pass through not the land, but through the homes. The previous places of protection will now be the scene of judgment. No mountain or rock can protect from the Lamb, can protect apart from the Lamb when the destroyer comes. When the destroyer comes, nothing will be able to protect apart from the blood of this Lamb as God has instructed them. What will happen if Israel doesn't kill the Lamb? It's kind of the questioning beckoning in the background. What happens if Israel doesn't do as they're commanded? There will be no blood, no blood-stained sign of faithfulness for God to see, to pass over. The plague will fall and destroy even Israel if they do not obey. As we press on, God then gives the instructions for 14 through 20 on the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Here we'll see what the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is. It's just another yearly reminder, just like the Passover festival. Israel is to take this feast unto the Lord. Unleavened homes, all symbolizing the purity that the people of God must have, lest they be cut off if they do not listen. What God is about to do is going to be so significant that he is establishing two festivals to help Israel remind them this great work of salvation. The Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, pointing all to what God is about to do in his great work. These meals and calendar events, what are they meant for? They're meant just to reorient Israel's sight back to God. As you may go to the eye doctor and they correct your lenses so you can see the world rightly, these festivals are helping Israel reorient back unto the Lord who saves. They're to remind them, but not just the adults, but also the children. They're to remind the adults and the children of his mighty work of salvation. How? By the blood of the Lamb. High Point, is there something that we do here at High Point that reminds us of a bitter death that bought us freedom? We take it weekly in the Lord's Supper. As we take that bread and the cup, we're reminded to reorient and refocus our eyes unto the Savior. I pray as you take the Lord's Supper today, High Point, that your eyes would be refixed on the Savior who purchased us, who brought us to the table. The Lord helps reframe, our Lord helped reframe this Passover meal. At the last Passover meal that was celebrated, he reframed that meal as the Lord's Supper, pointing to his body and his blood in the new covenant that he establishes, as we see in John 13. Children, I know you're here today. As you see your parents take the Lord's Supper, they're saying something. They're saying that God has saved them. I want to encourage you, give your parents some homework. As we talked about several months ago, giving your parents homework, because it's way more fun to give them homework than to take homework ourselves. Ask them over lunch today, how did God save you, Dad? How did God save you, Mom? Parents, Notice that as your children are taking the Lord's Supper, they're learning. Talk to them about what they're seeing. Moses, in verse 27, 26 and 27, where we're going, he instructs Israel. When children ask, what's this Passover meal all about? You should instruct them on what this is about. In God saving his people through the Lamb. Verse 1 through 20 is all instructions from God to Moses and Aaron. And now Moses and Aaron must do their part. They must take God's word and give it to God's people. There is serious consequences if they mess this up. So Moses and Aaron take this word. The question is how is Israel going to respond when the destroyer is coming? So verse 21 through 28, same thing as we just read. Go, select lambs, kill the Passover lamb, touch the doorpost with the blood. The blood was their only hope that God would pass over. Verse 22, don't go out until morning. The destroyer is coming, says Moses and Aaron. The destroyer is coming. So how does Israel respond? The people bow their heads in verse 27, and they worship. Then the people of Israel went and did so. As the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Brothers and sisters, we can be instructed right here. When God gives a word, it is not to be disregarded. It's actually a matter of life and death. And so when we gather on Sundays, that word that we hear preached, that word that we hear read, that word that we hear sung, oh, we should praise and worship. If you're not singing, you're not taking part. Let me encourage you to sing, because this word is worthy of our worship because of the God who gives it. Amen. It's a matter of life and death. It's not different today when we hear God's word given to us. We are to know it is from God, and we are to trust it. Just as Ken told us last week, we are to take this word and trust all of it with all of our lives and let it guide us all of our days. The instructions have been given. Israel knows what they must do. They go and do it. I want us to step back just for a moment. Imagine yourself to be a Hebrew parent. You've done what you need to do. The lamb was killed. You painted blood on your front doorpost with the hyssop. The lamb was eaten over the dinner table. You took the leftovers, you burned them in the fire. The kids are in bed. You put your head on the pillow and you ask yourself, will the destroyer come to my house tonight? Will that lamb's blood be sufficient? Will God take my son's life tonight? Or will God pass over? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Let's read on. Verse 29. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, up, go out from among my people. Both you and the people of Israel, go, serve the Lord as you have said. Verse 31, 32, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel. Go serve the Lord. Be gone and bless me also. There was not a house where someone was not dead. In every home, either a lamb died or a firstborn did. Death visited every household. None were exempt. The day of distress arrived, and with it, clear distinction. Those covered by the blood of the Lamb were spared. Those without it received a foretaste of God's coming wrath. The Lamb saved Israel from Pharaoh's kingdom, but this Lamb, it didn't save them holistically. It did not save them from their own sins. The sacrifices we just talked about earlier, the festivals, they've got to keep going year after year. Thousands of bloody, dead lambs. Year over year. Is there a lamb who can deliver, not just from Pharaoh, but from sin and Satan himself? God's answer is yes. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What we hear from John the Baptist when he first lays eyes on Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ, the true and greater Lamb of God. Christ, our Passover Lamb. He's been sacrificed, his innocent blood painted on the doorpost of the cross. His blood granting new life. His blood washing sins away. Saving not momentarily to just take us on a journey, but saving eternally and gloriously to take us on a journey to the promised land. Amen. His death covering all those who obey. His death by turning from sin, turning from Satan, turning from ourselves, and turning to the Lamb of God in Christ our Savior. All may be saved. If you're here today and you have not trusted in the Lamb of God, let me encourage you, trust in Him today. Let me invite you and implore you. As I mentioned a moment ago, it is a matter of life and death. Trust in the Lamb of God slain for the sin of the world. His resurrection proves He is the final Lamb, fully accepted by God, who is now the Lamb seated on His throne and in glory coming again. The thousands of lambs in Egypt year over year are just a massive flashing sign saying, look to the Lamb, look to the Lamb. All pointing to the one perfect Lamb of God. Pharaoh seems to know. He seems to finally get it, it seems. That only the God of Israel can bless. But it seems that Pharaoh wants the blessing without the obedience that he was called upon over and over again. He wanted the fruit of new life without the cost of new life. The call calls for your whole life to be laid down at the Lamb slain. Are you seeking God's blessing without bowing at the cross? Are you trusting in the blood of the Lamb, or are you trusting in something else? Let me invite you to bow the knee today to the Lamb of God, lest the Son of God make you bow. Christians, there are parts of our hearts where we must still bow the knee to the Lamb. If you're here and you're not a believer, let me implore you to bow your whole life before the Lamb of God slain. Verse 33 shows us what happens to the people who are covered in the blood of the Lamb. They're delivered through the Lamb. 33, the Egyptians were urgent with the people, sending them out in haste. It's not just Pharaoh who's urgent to get them out of there. The Egyptians are urgent to get them out. They said, "We shall all be dead." Verse 35, Israel had done as Moses had told them, asking the Egyptians for silver and gold and jewelry for clothing. They plunder the Egyptians. There's not enough time to cover this today, but I think one thing is obviously clear. It looks like God makes Israel to receive the splendor of victory from battle, right? Silver and gold and jewelry and clothing. They're getting all the spoils of war without hardly doing anything. There's victory through God's judgment. I'm not sure about you, but I can't help but be reminded again of the cross, where God gives victory, all the riches that are in Christ, for those who didn't do anything. May we bask in the riches in Christ. 37 through 38, the people of Israel journeyed. 600,000 men, women, and children. That's like, if you know what DKR is, where the Longhorns play down the street, that's like six of those, filled to the max. 600,000 people journeying. And then women and children. So more than probably 600,000. All of God's people on a journey. Where? They're on a journey to the promised land. Back in Genesis 15, God promised to Abraham that he would put his people in exile for 400 years. But God said that he would bring his people back. God's people on a journey to the promised land. I know a people journeying toward the promised land. I know that people, and I'm looking at many of them right now. Church, it has been a sweet time to be here and be encouraged on my journey to the promised land. And I hope I've been an encouragement to you as we all have been journeying towards that blessed land that the Lord will bring us home to soon and very soon. Church, I love you. It has been a sweet time to be in this fellowship and be a member of High Point Baptist Church. May I encourage you, don't stop. Don't grow weary of encouraging one another to that promised land. It is a long journey. There is a lot of trials that come on the way. Let me encourage you to not grow weary of encouraging one another to heaven. Keep trusting that God saves sinners through the Lamb. Amen. Keep preaching that good news and being a church that boasts only in the blood of the Lamb slain on Calvary. May we be a people always preaching the good news, not only to one another, because we need the gospel, amen, but so do our neighbors. Verse 38 talks about a mixed multitude going out with Israel. Who would be this mixed multitude? It has to be Egyptians that saw the people of Israel, the people of God, and they said, "We want to be a people that submit all of our lives to this God and lay our life down and be covered in the blood of the Lamb." Keep preaching that good news so the people around this church, your friends, your neighbors, your family, may hear the good news of the gospel and be covered in the blood of the risen Lamb. Let me encourage you, try at least one person, one coworker, keep pressing on and preaching the good news this week. Just in as Mark preached a couple weeks ago, God's glory is for the nations. God's glory is to be seen to all the earth. And really, right here in Exodus 12, God's glory is made known through the death of the firstborn and the passing over of those covered in the blood of the Lamb. Let me encourage you, keep preaching that gospel to the nations. Keep sending wonderful brothers and sisters like the painters that will go and take that good news gospel message and take it to the nations, because the nations still need the gospel. The blood of the Lamb is for all those that come, and how great that multitude will be. I look forward in the coming years to continue to hear of the multitudes that come and join in this fellowship and see what God is doing here. 41 and 42. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord. After all of their waiting, God secured the rescue of Israel. God showed his faithfulness to deliver them by the blood of the Lamb, but not only just that, but to watch them and care for them as they leave out of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, remember that the Christian life is a life of waiting, watching, witnessing God's faithfulness. May we keep our eyes fixed on the Lamb who died but rose again. May we keep our eyes fixed on him who takes away the sins of the world as we wait faithfully. Will you join me in prayer? Eternal Father, we thank you. We praise you that you would send the true and greater Lamb who would die on our behalf, who would bleed on behalf of those who would call on him in repentance and faith. We pray that as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, that you would fix our minds on the Savior. And by your Spirit, comfort us, woo us afresh with the gospel of Christ, and may we take this to one another today and for all of our days. We pray this in the name of our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.